The Embers actually started as a screenplay. I was editing my first feature film, 75 Degrees in July, and in a restaurant one day I saw a precocious-looking New York girl wearing an oversized men's blazer and carrying a stuffed animal backpack. I've always been fascinated by adolescent girls and thought she would make an interesting subject for my next film. So I immediately started forming this character, now split in the book between Ingrid and young Emily. At the same time, I was completely blown away by the performance of one of the actors in my film, Harris Yulin, and I thought that whatever movie I made next had to feature him fairly prominently. I began working on a story about an unlikely friendship between a teenage girl on the cusp of adulthood who is waking up to all kinds of things, romance and independence and fantasies of where her life will take her, and an elderly man nearing the end of his life, looking back with nostalgia, but also thinking about what he might have done differently. I liked the contrast between them and the idea that different as they are, they might strangely find comfort in one another. Somehow from the very beginning, the whole concept felt more like a novel than a film. But since I was a filmmaker, I brushed that idea aside and went ahead with the screenplay, all the while writing notes in the margins, if a novel, dot, dot, dot. In the end, the screenplay didn't work at all, and so I figured I had nothing to lose by trying it out as a novel. I finished the script right before my wedding, and after our honeymoon, I wrote the first 50 pages of the novel, which just flowed out unstoppably. At that point, I asked my husband to read what I had and tell me whether or not I was crazy to continue. He gave me the thumbs up, and 7 years and 2 children later, The Embers is finally finished. In terms of the story that eventually evolved, the friendship between Joe and this young stranger, Ingrid, soon turned into more of an exploration of the relationship between him and his daughter, which was once easy but has become very strained. As Emily and the rest of Joe's family began to spring up around him, the Ashers really took over the novel. I thought about a Van Gogh quote I'd read a few years before, "One may have a blazing hearth in one's soul, and yet no one come to sit by it." This really captured the way I thought about the Ashers and the state of isolation they're all living in, yearning for closeness but unable to connect. Out of the quote, too, came the title of the book. The issue of culpability plays a big role in The Embers, and in the aftermath of the tragedy, each of the Ashers, fueled by both guilt and anger, clings to his or her own beliefs about the past and who should be held accountable. There are no heroes and no villains, and each of them share responsibility for the family's downfall. In shifting from one person's perspective to another, and also back and forth between past and present, I started thinking of the family sort of like a sculpture, which is slowly rotating so that you're constantly surprised and constantly changing your concept of who these people are and what their true story is. And I try to do that by not just dwelling on this tragedy, but by giving each character soft, sweet moments and also plenty of humorous moments, sometimes funny for them as well, and other times only for us as outsiders, observing behavior we laugh at not only for its absurdity, but for its universal familiarity.